It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Four o'clock hours here. Reno's in Vegas. It's Cofield and Company. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers, 766-1400. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Got a dial 775 in the north. In no way, I mean, I think you were a little bit, but in no way was I mocking on Rich Little and the Trop, because he's going to help close it down.
I love the Trop.
I think it's tremendous that he's still playing. He's got such a history in Vegas. I mean, literally going back 60 years. He's 85 years old now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, his impressions are of a lot of 70s and 80s people.
70s and 80s? Or 50s and 60s?
I mean, there's some going back, yeah. He did do a one-man show here that was about Jimmy Stewart with a lot of impressions. That was like 15 years ago.
When he swore in to become a U.S. citizen, the judge asked if he can swear in a John Wayne voice.
He does a great John Wayne.
When did John Wayne die? Like in early 70s?
No. I feel like I just saw something on John Wayne. Let's look that up. Did he make it to 2000?
Really? Well, what did he do his last movie?
79.
He died in 79?
Yes.
Wow. I'm way off. So, I never know when people pass away.
So one of his more famous impressions is somebody that died 44 years
ago. Whose heyday
ago.
Was the 40s, 50s, a yeah. little bit of 60s.
Yeah.
True Grit, I think, was 69.
Although
I remember that.
Paul did say.
I was watching.
Paul did say that he did a Biden and a Trump, apparently.
He's got at least nine. Yeah, I mean, if he had the new guys, he's got at least. By the way, they're old. Yeah, but if you add, I think he's got like 11 or 12 presidents down. Good he's a him. Genius, and he harkens back to the old days when impressionists were a big deal.
Good, yes, man. But I have heard, and I. He lives here. I can't do that.
He does live here. I think he's
I can't
been here since 92.
I can't see what I was going to say.
Yeah, don't.
Well, I heard an impressionist recently who's very, very good, who was talking about the old people in the business. Which
that maybe was kind of mean.
I would assume he would include. Yeah. No, not that he was mean.
Oh.
He said, look, the difference between impressionists now and impressionists then is you actually have to be funny now. It's like back then, they're not funny people. They're
just doing it.
Do an impression.
Like, oh my God, that impression's so close.
And then you're like, well, what are you going to do anything funny with the impression, or are you just going to do it? And he said, now you actually have to be funny if you're an impressionist. And he said, those guys were great, and they set the kind of set the foundation, but none of them were actually funny, which is, I think, true.
Who's the biggest impressionist now?
Well,
you would just have to think of a stand-up comedian who just puts it in there.
Well, we had Caliendo on at Super Bowl, and he was awesome. We got to get him on for his bracketology.
May have been him that said it. But also, I would say, like, you look at people, and, I'm a big fan of Shane Gillis, a comedian now, who's maybe the best Trump impression ever, but that's not, like, what he doesn't do impressions. He does stand-up, and he works impressions into a stand-up. Dan Soder, another really, really great comedian who does a lot of impressions, but that's not what his act is. He just works them in occasionally.
His Macho Man's amazing.
It's maybe the best
yes.
impression of anyone ever.
Wait, who's Macho Man?
Dan Soder.
His Macho
really?
Man impression? Oh,
it's tremendous.
Amazing. Even his Andre the Giant. He's a big wrestling guy.
Who's
so
the other who's the kind of heavy guy? Will, what's his name? He does I thought he does
Will
Macho.
Will Sasso?
Yeah,
he does he does a couple of wrestlers. He does Macho and sure. does he do
Jesse Ventura? He does a great
Ventura.
That's the future VP you're talking about.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's so good.
Vice President Ventura, you're talking about that.
But you're right, you do have to be funny.
Yeah.
You can't just carry the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have different sets of rules as we move along in time.
Also, DeMond's decision to put George Xavier on instead of an opening round game.
I turned the
baffling.
TV on. I didn't make any decision.
Absolutely baffling.
Let's fix that. All right, Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
I'm warning everyone right now. I'll probably sound like a horse's ass during this. We are not celebrities. We are not important. But I think both Adam and I have respect for our privacy. Like, I almost never, and again, no one cares when we put up an Instagram Or I really believe there are radio people who are like, oh, this is great. I can show them I'm hanging out here at this place. No one cares, okay? I understand no one cares. So I'm going to preface it before I say it. I don't actually, for radio shows, obviously, we do videos. And, hey, you want to come out and hang out with us? That's cool. Watch the show. Take advantage of the specials at restaurants and bars, whatever. But, I like going to restaurants when I'm out of town and Instagram and food, little description stuff. I almost never do it, like, during the meal.
Wait till after?
A couple days after. Because no one cares. Caught in the moment of me at some deli in Reno. I don't even think I posted a picture of the fattening sandwich I had at the Full Belly Deli, which is very good, by the way. It's a triple D place.
Shout out Full Belly Deli.
Why not? Why not? I think we have a Raisin King coming up later on. I think. You have that one?
Yeah.
Okay. So last night we were hanging out at a local bar. It was a little get-together for our guy, Sam Paniadovich, who's on the show. And it wasn't, like, for him. He was in town. Damon, you went out and hung out with him?
Yeah, this past Friday.
I had no idea. That was a new picture. I don't know why I thought it was old. New picture.
In Naked City, Sammy P, great guy.
Were you expecting him not to be a great guy?
You never know with people, Steve.
Oh, when you meet him. Okay. So anyway, last night we were hanging out at a place, and like, we walked in, and the guy's like, hey, someone, Adam and Steve are...
No, that tweet said they just walked in.
Yeah, we just walked in. It's like a fresh report. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
That's what people need to know.
Right, Patrick, where are we? They don't. That's the thing. They don't need to know. They don't want to know.
Because also, if people were going to then run up on you guys there, they would know that you two would at least be staying a little while longer.
Yeah, because we just arrived.
Okay, why would that matter?
If someone was like, oh, Adam and Steve just showed up too? And they just got there, so I know they'll be there when I get there.
I have
there.
No one wants to hang out. I'm going to say it again. That's not what we're talking about. This. I just thought, like, I got home and I was like, wait a second, what's happening here?
I retweeted it
immediately.
So like 2 hours.
I'll retweet it today. There was a lovely picture though with some of the some of the gambling people and some sportsbook people and some of us media people. It was great.
But I'll say the
it
person.
Was great. We're all, a lot of camaraderie.
The person who sent it out, I didn't even know they were there. They sent it out.
Oh, Patrick Everson was in the back.
Yeah, but then I saw the tweet like an hour and a half later, and I was like, oh, he's here?
Oh, you saw it in time.
Yeah, I saw it like after an hour and a half, and I was like, oh, he's here. I should go find him. Yeah.
How big of a gathering is this?
Not that big.
Not that big, but there's like a couch in the back corner that you can't really see from the front if you're sitting in the front.
Oh, that suggestion made it sound like it was a cavernous joint.
Yeah, there's like 2,000 people there.
There were so many people. I didn't even see them there.
And we were like 80% of the crowd there.
Yeah, it was all us.
Exactly. That's the reaction that it should get.
Make that big impression on Sammy P and invite me a second time.
Oh, we should have invited. We didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. That's too bad.
Yeah.
There was a recommendation for the chicken quesadilla. I don't get chicken quesadilla out. I think it's boring.
Well then,
that place might be good, and it's Oasis. Well, I think it's a boring choice
for bar food. That food is incredible, like everything on the menu. And so to go quesadilla seems like a boring.
That's my point. Number three.
Number three.
Okay, I feel like I'm getting sucked in on this story without all the facts. Damon, what about Final Four tickets for the women?
That the prices just right now. To get in, they're about double for the men's.
Okay, go ahead.
We're looking at $472 right now, and this is according to TickPick, if you were trying to purchase tickets for the women's Final Four, and $260 if you're trying to go to the men's Final Four, and this is according to TickPick.
Okay. Why do you think that's the case? Women's basketball has surpassed men's basketball in popularity?
I don't think it's that, but I think in the women's side of the bracket, in their tournament, you know that there's a higher likelihood that those higher seeds are going to get there.
But so, they did make Iowa's path far from automatic.
But Iowa isn't the only team that has a fan base.
They're not even one of the best teams.
Yeah. I know, but I would think that would be the driver, since we've heard so much about Caitlin Clark's ticket prices and how well she sold in the Midwest and the TV audience.
But I don't even think she got it. I don't think they deserve a one seed. But yeah, you're right. It's going to be a little bit tougher. I would also point out.
This is the question I had.
They also play in a basketball arena, not a football stadium.
Yeah.
I love that. Three and a half times. If someone sends that out, it's like, oh, the women's. It's so much more demand because there's no seats.
Yeah, I believe the men's Final Four is like 65,000. Women's is like 19. Maybe less, 18.
Like, guys, don't malicious facts. Facts. Good story.
Don't let the facts.
Oh my god.
Those
gosh,
malicious
Adam,
facts
get
out of
here.
The narrative.
What's gonna happen to the tickets if I don't?
I know they played in an arena.
No,
I mean a stadium. They'd sell it out. All those Iowa fans that Steve were talking about, they'd be able to get in.
I don't want to be
completely ignorant of this, but I am.
We don't need to
where is it?
No, let's do
it's Cleveland. It's in Cleveland.
Oh, so it's pretty close then.
Yeah.
So women's basketball in general really want – they Caitlin Clark being there would be awesome.
There's definitely a certain segment of the fan base that wants Caitlin Clark to be there, and that's what they're – yes. Yeah.
Cleveland fans? What do you mean, Adam?
Sure.
Okay.
Come on, you know.
Well, we saw it last year. We saw it played out last year. Good guy, bad guy.
Of course.
Good girl, bad girl.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
LSU, the trash talkers. Menacing.
Pointing at her ring finger.
Oh. LSU, by the way, LSU in their selection show viewing party was, behind the scenes, was fantastic.
Why?
Haley Van Lith just talking mad smack about Louisville when they came
really?
Up on the, they came up on the board. Angel Reese not having any idea what seed they are. They're like, oh, we got a 2. And then Kim Mulkey would be like, we're 3. And she's like, what? Like, sad. It was great. There was a lot of great moments.
Yeah, Haley Van Lith, she also, I forget which team it was, but she says, oh, basically it's like, they're going to beat the hell out of them.
She was talking about Louisville.
Oh, okay.
She's talking about Louisville.
Wait, how did she say it?
Like that.
You had to read her lips.
No.
Beat them, like,
she did it like a Hondo impression?
No, okay, no, she didn't do it like a Hondo.
Can you describe what the Hondo impression is?
Oh, he gonna play. And he gonna play a lot.
And who is Hondo?
Hondo Carpenter, a famed writer, Uncle Hondo, as some in Raider Nation calls him.
He's an old white. So when you were doing the impression of Haley Van Lith, I was like, tell me she didn't do that.
Oh, she definitely has a black sample.
Oh, yeah, she does.
You know what? In a way, I gained respect for her. The fact that I think she was willing to take a punch in the face from that Cardoza girl woman on South Carolina.
I'm a big HBL fan. She's great.
Yeah, but I think your standards are different.
A lot of trash, though.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Good. I think she was very good in that game. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't think she was very good in the fight game, the showdown.
Oh, I don't care about the talking.
They better get it together.
Play.
Better get it together big time. All right, next up.
Number 2.
I love your Hondo impression. It was just the best. And he's the one who did it.
I don't think we're allowed to do it.
That's why I always throw it to DeMond.
And we all know why he can do it.
Well, that's why he thinks he can do it. Knights. It's been a theme every week. Is this go time? Is this go time? Momentum building time. What do we got?
Well, in the last couple hours, we've learned.
Yes.
Alex Petrangelo out.
Okay. They just can't get.
He's sick.
Fully.
He's sick.
Healthy.
He's sick. So he should be back.
All right. Why is this one so big?
I mean, they're all big at this point. They are back up to 87% playoff prediction to get in, but it's not really just about getting there. They want to build their game. They want to be playing at a high level. They want to integrate some of these guys. And when you have things like what's happening tonight, where Alex Petrangelo is out, they say he will not be out long term, that they think it's just an illness and he'll be back, but he's out, so that's one less game that him and Noah Hanifin have to play together on the top line. So one less opportunity for them to get to where they want to be.
We had a Raising Cane's truck when we were there. I can't get free shout outs, but Raising Cane's, you know, still is not in Buffalo yet.
Franchise that. Get on top of it, Dalton Kincaid. You'll make a fortune up there in Buffalo.
You're listening to Cofield and Company.
All right, rolling on. Cofield and Company here at the halfway point of the show. We've got NIT action on. We got the NIT working.
Yeah.
What do we got, Georgia?
Round game too.
We've got Georgia on one screen, and then we've got Howard and Wagner.
Let's do it. Seahawks. I should know Wagner.
Yes. Spot on.
Are you sure?
1,000% sure.
Howard is the Bison?
Yes, sure. And their coach is wearing a hoodie. I don't like that.
Is it the hoodie jacket like Becky Hammond?
No, just a hoodie.
Just a hoodie.
You're playing for an opportunity to go to the – well, to, you're already in the NCAA tournament.
It's an NCAA tournament game, DeMond.
It's an NCAA tournament game.
It's playing. It's the playing.
You're coaching in a hoodie? Yeah. Come on.
Seahawks! All right. Seahawks. Okay. Is it Bison or Bison?
It's a fair question. Kenny Blakeney, coach of Howard? The Backyard Band. This is that's his favorite artist.
I got to look this up.
I don't even know who that is.
DeMond, can you get your Hondo impression again? Ready?
Should we cheer?
Okay, so let's intro this because we're going off the rails.
What are we doing?
Not in a bad way. You were talking about it off the air. I didn't know if you guys wanted to get into this, but I guess there's been a thing in recent times where there'll be a college basketball, college football media person will ask all the coaches in what the tournament in this case,
yeah,
what their favorite all-time band or artist is.
Reached out to all 68 coaches in the field,
okay,
and asked, what is your favorite artist or band of all time?
Okay.
And one of the favorite things to do, and I know people do this on social media a lot, is what coach is telling the truth and which is pandering to recruits or players trying to make themselves seem cool.
Okay.
And there's usually a pretty – it's a fairly easy line to kind of draw.
Do you think? Do you think Brad Underwood is like, I'm going to go into East St. Louis and tell him I love Morgan Wallen?
No, but that's the answer he gave. So I think that was a real
yes.
answer.
He didn't think that one through.
Unless he's just so out of touch that he's like, what are the kids listening to? Morgan Wallen? That could be true. I don't think he's really hip. How about BYU coach Mark Pope, I think being honest. Taylor Swift? It's an interesting answer.
Why?
I mean, it's not really hip. Like, you're not trying to relate to...
It's not?
I don't think so. I mean, children.
There are two bands come up when you put in the Backyard Band.
Okay.
And I do believe Howard's coach now when he says the Backyard Band. This is a D.C. Whatever that is.
So he's pandering... Come on. He's pandering to the student, the local population at that point.
Yeah. And this group was led by Slim Charles from The Wire. This is his group.
Okay. All right. They're probably cool. And if it's local, if it's a local band, he's clearly like, let me throw it out to the
Backyard Band. Everybody in D.C. is going to know the Backyard Band from back in the day.
Obviously, UNLV not included because they're not in the field. So we don't know the answer on Kevin. Steve Alford, though, another band, I don't know who they are. Sanctus Real? Never heard of them.
I'm on it. Come on.
Don't know. So I'm not sure. Hubert Davis went Lil Durk, which I think there's literally no chance. Like Hubert Davis is not, he's not 30 or younger.
Yeah, Alford. I figured
maybe he likes the All My Life song with J. Cole. Maybe he heard that around one of the kids, and they said, "Who's that, Lil Durk?" And he's like, "Okay, I like Lil Durk."
Yeah, but this is not. Do you like a song that they did? This is your favorite of all time, your favorite band or artist. By the way. Kyle Smith from Washington State went Digital Underground. Good for him. I mean, they obviously haven't done anything since the late 90s. Good for you.
Maybe they missed out on the
Kyle Smith went Digital Underground. I love that.
Maybe they missed out on the all-time part.
Maybe.
I'll jump in for a second here with Alford. It is a Christian rock band.
Okay.
Which he didn't – you know when he was on? I don't know what I was expecting, but I think I asked a question about Jared Lucas and Faith. And I guess he answered it to a certain extent. I don't know. He's got a – Just with the history with Alford not being the most open person, maybe he's getting more open.
Well, he didn't want to talk about Faith with you.
People are also looking
He felt the vibe down the phone line.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a bad vibe. When I ask people, I'm like, I'm curious to hear about it.
People are looking for clues among some of these answers, too.
What does that
mean? So, Utah State's Danny Sprinkle.
Don't tell me, please.
What?
I think this is going to be
Is going to be Nirvana?
No, close.
Okay, I was like, is it really?
Well, he said Prince. Purple Rain, Washington.
No. Why would that be? I was like, is the Minnesota job open?
Purple.
I think that's a stretch.
I got a text from somebody that covers Washington today that says, Danny Sprinkle, Prince, Purple Rain, mark it down.
This is why I hate conspiracy theories. Because
that's such a stretch.
Yes.
It's possible.
There's only one thing to think of with Prince. Purple Rain.
Former Mountain West coach Rodney Terry, who's now at Texas.
You're so annoying with this.
He went Michael Jackson.
That's not his bold choice.
It's a bold choice.
Standing in his truth right there.
So did Akron coach John Gross. He also said Michael Jackson.
Really? Okay.
Dan Altman, Eagles? That adds up. That makes sense. I think the Eagles are coming to the Sphere. Maybe he'll be there. I love all of this. Richard Pitino's Dave Matthews Band.
Can we save this list, please, for next year?
No, we can't.
Yes.
I'll save it. I've screenshotted all of them. Trust me.
Next year, if we're still here and still doing the Mountain West Conference Tournament, we'll ask Richard Pitino where he can. Well, he might not be in the conference.
Will we do it on the in the lead-up interviews that we all did for each coach?
Yeah.
We ask him then.
Tom Izzo, Jackson 5.
We're never going to remember this, but do it as the bump coming back and be like, oh, do you love that song? Try to find like their fifth biggest song.
Yeah.
And hopefully the coach is like, well,
but Tom Izzo, I like that.
Who is it? Sanctus Real?
Nico Medved did Prince too.
Prince is he also going to play for the Washington?
No, but Mountain West coaches love Prince, apparently.
Okay.
That's interesting.
No problem with that.
That's an interesting choice. A lot of Michael Jacksons.
But I like the Izzo with the Jackson 5 because that way you can say he didn't do anything bad then. I like the clean, you know, I like the.
John Shire?
Oh, I love to hear this one.
Young guy.
Drake?
Okay.
Good pick.
I would believe that because Drake was just.
Calipari said Drake too, though, so which is a friend of the program. Ties, he's got to do that, which that's obnoxious.
But
you know,
I could have seen Shire,
when,
like that championship run when Drake was first starting to get hot, that's what they were actually listening to in the locker room.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that adds up.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at Circa Las Vegas. They've got Mania Under the Sun at Stadium Swim. It's starting up here. I mean, the tourney's already started, but they're going to kick things off on March 20th. That'll go through the weekend, the next weekend, and the weekend after. You got heated pools and cabanas, game time snacks and drinks you can't stop. 143-foot screen to watch the simultaneous game action. You want to reserve your spot. It's getting late in the game. Make sure you get some sort of lounger, a seat, a cabana. CircleLasVegas.com. CircleLasVegas.com for Mania Under the Sun, yes.
TJ Otelberger, Ed Sheeran. He's got daughters. That's the only thing I can think of.
Because he doesn't look like a music guy to me.
No, I don't think he's ever heard a song in his life. He's like, I don't know, kids listen to Ed Sheeran, I guess.
He's got to like something thrashy.
No,
He's just yoked, puffed, all. He's just all the time flexing.
I don't think he's ever heard a song.
Can we get to this topic? Because I haven't seen anyone say they're rooting for him in the UNLV fan base, but I have seen a couple of people who are like, F that guy.
I'm not rooting for him, but I think that for general public, people are sleeping on Iowa State. One of my buddies that was in town from Texas, he's like, oh, I'm going to fill out I think I'm going to take Houston over Iowa State. And I was like, Iowa State's some dogs, bro. And he's like, oh, but Houston's so good. And I'm like, no, but you don't know Iowa State. And I think that was – and I did say to him, I think this is my bias just because I still want to believe in TJ.
It's not just TJ, though. It's Keyshawn Gilbert's a leading scorer.
Yes, and Keyshawn's there.
Which is, amazing to think about. Essentially the best player for one of the best teams in the country, if he could have potentially partnered with Deion Thomas Jr.?
Could he have? I've thought about this topic many – I've thought about this time – thought about it often watching – UNLV this year and how Keyshawn Gilbert would have blended in.
Could play more off the ball?
I mean, I think he's better off the ball. To me, that was his problem, and that's why he kind of unraveled and the coaches lost confidence in him last year, is that playing the point, there were some teams out there like San Diego State, like New Mexico. Like, if you watch what Jalen House does to a lot of guards, there are some who were completely unaffected. To that point, I thought Isaiah Stevens was just like, whatever, bro. Now, they didn't win the game.
But Isaiah Stevens has been playing college basketball for 9 years.
Right, but now Keyshawn Gilbert was freaked out against him, and now you just said it. He's the best player on a freaking top 8 team.
Yeah. Potential national champion. The one that got away.
Yeah. What could have been?
That would have been the best backcourt in the country.
Well, the development would have been interesting. As time moved along,
I think
no idea what would have happened because I thought watching Deion Thomas all year, I think he was very respectful to the older guys. And then when it was go time towards the end of the year, the coaching staff agreed, but it was like, all right, now it's time for you to be, top 25 recruit in the country and score as well.
Yeah,
would that have happened with Gilbert?
I think so because I think Keyshawn would have seen. There's something to hey, we need you to do this role, and there's another thing to, oh, that guy's really, really good at playing point guard. Like, okay, yep. Let me play off of him.
And by the way, I'm not here to be like, hey, Keyshawn Gilbert was uncoachable. Clearly he's not.
No.
And the other intriguing one is Keyshawn Hall moved to George Mason and averaged, what'd he finish up at, 17-8 per game. He got down to like 220. I didn't watch George Mason this year to see if he was good defensively, if they care about defense.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
During the break, did you finish your list of college basketball coaches and their favorite music? Pretty good?
Oh, yeah.
You're satiated on that?
I mean, I've been kind of looking at it all day, and I've been getting a lot of the group text is blowing up about this.
I feel like it's a better group text topic than a radio topic. But maybe because I'm not in on it as much as you guys are.
Yeah, I think that's
I don't know all your new age music.
Well, most of them are new. Dan Hurley loves Pearl Jam. There's like a bunch of that.
Oh, God.
Pearl Jam. Chris Collins, big baby face guy, which is weird. Now, the one that we've been obsessed with, Dusty May.
By the way, you weren't done.
Dusty May from Florida Atlantic says Rod Wave, which is I say underground. He does massive numbers on social media.
So this is genuine?
No. There's no chance. There's no chance Dusty May.
But you said he's pandering, and then you guys told me during a break, you're like, this isn't like upbeat music that maybe
no, but
heard.
You're trying to relate. It's big with it, like the kids love it on YouTube and on these big Spotify guys, big TikTok guys. Of course.
What kind of music?
So he's trying to relate. It's like D'Amato's doing a pretty good description earlier. It's like depressing. It's a mixture of R&B and hip hop. He's like in between doing R&B and rap, but it's pretty slow and depressing for the most part. Really, he's really good. Really good.
So good for Dusty May. He knows his music.
I just don't believe him. Now, when he takes the job at Michigan in 2 weeks, I'm going to say, awesome, really relatable, love him. Tremendous.
Next year to be T Grizzly then.
I just don't, he's going to T Grizz. That's more, it's more Western Michigan though.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, he probably will go T Grizz when he's, which is ridiculous.
First day out, Steve, not a fan?
You just slipped that in about him taking the Michigan job. He's Florida Atlantic coach?
Yeah, he's going to Michigan.
Why do you want him?
He's really good.
Does he have ties?
No, but he's the top.
Low load of money.
Yeah, he's the top, I think he's the top choice for the
business.
How big
a war chest will he be working with?
I think that they've decided to just go.
They're all in?
I think so.
Okay. I saw some person arguing the other day that like they don't have an NIL budget, and I'm like, then they can't really operate in these times.
But they will.
They did. They got in trouble for it. Now it's legal.
Yeah.
We don't worry about the Fab Five and the repercussions from that.
But also,
it's time. I think they did. They did with.
Also, the
they
amount
did
of,
the last couple years with Howard.
Right. The amount of money
they just fell into bad luck.
He didn't know how to coach the players that came in.
He was not a very good coach, and he also had health issues.
Didn't pinpoint the right players either. Yeah. I would also say that the new deal is going to be very, very beneficial for the Big Ten and the SEC, and so there's going to be a lot more money coming in.
Right. I mean, technically, you're not supposed to – you can't spend that TV money.
Sure.
But money begets money.
Sure. Sure you can't. That's funny.
I was trying to play the above board game.
Of course.
We have no money. Well, you do. You do. I'm going to pivot violently in a different direction, but it is going to have to do with money. I don't understand the Browns trading for Jerry Jeudy for pennies on the dollar. And then they're like, you know what? Market rate deal. Let's go. Just about a market rate deal.
Yeah.
He does have to prove himself. His attitude and consistency has been a little off.
He's been hurt.
And they just gave him $41 million guaranteed, a three-year deal for $58 million. Would you have done that?
No, the Browns are going to pay the price at some point soon.
I mean, they have a lot in the room.
Yeah.
A lot to manage.
They do.
A lot of personalities.
There's also a lot of money on that floor.
There is a lot of money on that floor.
Yeah.
They've also sent a message that they're ready to – this time around, they're ready with a backup.
Maybe. They're not going to bench Deshaun.
No, I'm not saying that. No, but they will be prepared this year if he gets hurt or if some of the signs we've seen, he just hasn't been that good.
They'll eat wins. That's what they'll do.
Don't make me do it.
I don't know. DeMond's giving hand signals.
No, eat a W, Steve.
He's eating a W.
Okay.
James Winston.
I know.
They're piling the war chest of every backup black QB in the league.
They signed Huntley, right?
They've got four, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
DTR too?
Yep.
Yes.
Still?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, Tyler Huntley, DTR.
On the way back, we'll get you an update on the first game of the tournament with Wagner, I'll just say, leading Howard.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
NCAA tournament has begun as Wagner's leading Howard in tonight's first four, 38-27. Colorado State and Virginia's coming up in just a little bit. Let's get into the Mountain West. More importantly, get into UNLV in what is going to be their first game in the NIT, first game in postseason in a long time. And Curtis Terry is the analyst on radio and co-host of the Kevin Kruger radio show. He is in NJ right now, I think. Curtis, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. I'm out here in your neck of the woods, but I'm missing my tour guide because you're not here.
I know, right? I don't know Princeton that well. I probably know it better than you guys. But what was the trip like? Because this is always, you know, it's a little different for UNLV. UNLV doesn't head into the Eastern time zone very often.
No, not at all. Yeah, it was a long trip. Obviously, it's a little bit different in terms of going to the NCAA tournament. You charter there, obviously, and take a commercial flight. But all the guys are out here. We got out here safe late last night. And then I had the bus from Newark out here to Princeton, but it's definitely a little bit different. It's the East Coast, and so you kind of know what that entails, but it's a little bit colder out here. And then I think the time change, that's causing me some problems, that's for sure.
I saw you you posted a photo from Jadwin, a place that I think me and Steve are pretty familiar with. What were your thoughts on walking into that place?
First of all, it's a big field house. So, I mean, that's kind of interesting because, I mean, they house a lot of sports in there, a lot of different events that go on inside the field house there. And so for me, I feel a little bit smarter, a little bit more high academic after being on campus at Princeton. Just strolled around a bit. But you can definitely see the tradition throughout the athletic history of the school. I mean, they've got, I think, 500 national championships currently running through all their sports. And obviously, they're very strong in Olympic sports. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of tradition that you feel and you can see as soon as you step in the building.
From what you heard when the coaches were kind of talking to the players, was there any plans to maybe go visit the childhood home of Steve Cofield, kind of show everybody, hey, this is where he came from?
Nowhere near Princeton.
I think they were talking about maybe coming earlier or staying later, extending the trip if the tour guide would have been here. I know that was
right?
A big thing, and they were trying to look into that, but I don't think it was going to happen once he decided that he wasn't able to make it.
not to jinx this whole thing. What would be the plan if they win the game? They're in the same bracket as Providence and Boston College. Is the plan to stay on the road?
Yeah, so we're just finishing up dinner right now, and that game is on where we are eating. And so I think that is the plan. I think there was talk of maybe a possible, it depends on availability for either team to host. But I'm pretty sure that based on what we've heard right now, I think that if we win, that we stay out east, because I think the next game would be Saturday. And so it just makes a lot of sense to stay. But then if you win that one, I think you're still in the Eastern time zone, so you would stay again. If they run off three or four in a row, it could end up being a 10, 12-day trip back east in the Eastern time zone. So we'll see how it goes.
Did you pack for 12 days, or you got to do some laundry on there in the East Coast?
Of course not. I've got 3.5, maybe 4 outfits, so I'm definitely going to have to do some laundry. But I wouldn't mind it. If these guys can keep playing and keep this team together, and it's really a building block. I mean, because if you can come out here and have success in the NIT, obviously you're one of the top, 80 teams in the country. And really with this group, with the guys they got coming back, this could be a stepping stone to get them to the NCAA tournament next year. And just getting that experience, especially with the younger guys that they have. So I'm going to have to do some laundry, but that'll be unfortunate. So I'll have to find a place to get some quarters, but that'll be welcome.
Curtis Terry joining us. You can hear him on the broadcast, former Rebel with us here on the show, getting ready for the NIT game tomorrow night at Princeton. What sense did you get in terms of the players – like excitement level for playing in this? That's obviously one of the big factors in NIT games. Like, are they fired up for this? Are they ready to go? Is it like, all right, I guess we got to do this again? Where is their attitude?
I mean, from what I gathered, and just being around the guys, I mean, on the trip out here last night and then today, and then we went to practice, they're excited. I mean, practice was spirited. They were getting after it, having some fun. This is a pretty loose group. I think you guys have seen that kind of being around them and interacting with them. But they're excited to be here. I think for the guys that are seniors going to be moving on, they're excited to continue their career. Obviously, that's one thing that you want to try to do as long as you can. And from experience, that's the hardest part, is letting it go. So the fact that they get one more year, and then these younger guys, they're really excited about the opportunity as well, because they know they're going to get some more experience. They're coming out east. People that haven't seen them play are going to be able to see them play, work on the brand name for UNLV basketball, help with some recruiting from that standpoint to get in front of more guys. So I think everybody's excited to be here, and I think that they understand that they still have a chance to win a championship, even though it's not the one they set out for initially.
And not only, you know, not only where their attitude is, and obviously it sounds like they're ready for it, but you know, not at full strength, and we saw that in the tournament. That was a big factor. How difficult is it going to be for them to overcome some of the injury concerns they have here?
You know, that's going to kind of be wait to be seen. I think that's going to be an issue that it could possibly flare up. I mean, I'm not sure what the status is going to be for Caleb Boone, but I think it's something that where they're going to have to go out there and put that best foot forward. I think obviously there's going to be a lot of teams that are dealing with that. Not sure kind of what Princeton's status is going to be when it comes game time tomorrow night. But as we saw in the Mountain West tournament for the Rebels, I mean, against San Diego State, you had Shane Noel, who got the start and played a lot of minutes. And so if that's going to be the case again with Caleb Boone out, the Rebels are going to have to get creative. But I think the one thing they have to their advantage is they haven't seen this team before. So that'll kind of help them be able to game plan and maybe do some things differently that maybe they can be better prepared, as opposed to the opponent kind of knowing what to expect.
Have you watched much of Princeton?
Let's be honest, not much. No. I've done my research. I know they returned a bunch of guys from their team last year that went to the AAS Sweet 16, knocked off Missouri, knocked off Arizona. They've got the player of the year in Caden Pierce. I know they won 9 out of their last 10, so they've been hot to end the season like the Rebels have. They haven't lost at home yet this year, and so they're a team that expected to be back in the NCAA tournament. They got upset by Brown, so I know there's a lot of good things going for the program here at Princeton on the basketball court. And so for the Rebels, they've got to make sure they take all of that into consideration. You can't overlook any opponent. And so I expect it to be a good game, but I would be lying if I said I watched a lot of Princeton this year.
I feel bad. I watched the game on Saturday when they lost and just laughed the whole time at them. And now,
yeah. Well, they were down big too in that game, so that was probably fair.
They were, and then they turned up the press and they actually made a little bit of a rally. They're they're a better team than Brown is, but they got run off the court in the first half and couldn't really rally back. So,
well, Curtis, let me jump in here and we'll ask Adam. You watched the whole game. How much of the true Princeton offense do they run?
Well, I've watched them 3 times this year. They definitely run a variant of it, but you know, UNLV sees Air Force, and you know, certainly one of those games didn't go well against Air Force, but they're not running, you know, 1995 Princeton offense. Like they incorporate it into their game, but they definitely do a lot more a lot more traditional things with their offense, and then all of a sudden they'll hit you with a backdoor and you're like, oh, where did that come from? So it's not every time down the floor where they're doing it, which is what really grinded on teams before, but I don't know that necessarily works. I mean, Air Force doesn't do that either. They run a variation of the Princeton offense. They just run it, I think, a little bit more often than Princeton does now, but they've got it in them. They do it, and they still got big guys that can shoot. They still have big guys that can pass, which is a huge staple of that offense as well, but it's just not that – they're also not going to try to play a 50-49 game against you like – Princeton teams of the past would. Like, that's not what they do now either.
Curtis Terry's with us. Curtis, let's talk about the end of the season before this NIT and what you saw in the tournament as Dedon became the guy, right? I mean, they're running clearouts for him against arguably the best defense they're facing all year, a top 8 KenPom team in San Diego State. We know Dedon can be the guy. For however many games they play the rest of the year, what can the other guys kind of learn from the experience in the Mountain West Conference tournament to play off of Dedon as he's going one-on-one and breaking people down?
Well, I think that's kind of become what this team has become. I mean, honestly, I think they're going to go as far as Dedon's going to be able to take them, which isn't a bad thing. Even though he's a freshman, he's got, 30 games under his belt here. I think he's going to be able to flourish, but I think these guys have learned how to play off of him. But I think they also see his passion and his pride that he takes being a local kid from Vegas and playing at UNLV. So I think that's going to bode well for them. But these guys are going to have to step up. And you know, just like in the Mountain West tournament, that this is when you lose, you go home. And so I think those guys kind of see that. They understand that. But this is a group that's hungry and wants to compete and continue playing. But you can definitely tell that based on how things have been going over the last, week and a half, this team's going to go as Dedon Thomas takes them.
I don't want to blame all of it on the injury, but you can blame some of it because it does change your mentality What does Rob Whaley need to do to kind of close the season strong? And the injury was a turned ankle, and it seemed to affect him, but he wasn't as aggressive, and he was going against a good defensive team in San Diego State. But these are the opportunities against a Princeton-type team where, you know, him at 5'5" and 265 should be able to be aggressive and get results.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a big game for him. I think this team is going to be able to have success, obviously what Deion does, but I think it's going to have to be a big dose of Rob Whaley playing like Rob Whaley was in the middle of the Mountain West Conference season. He's kind of bullying people. Being super athletic, doing a lot inside, playing great defense, protecting the rim, rebounding. But he's going to have to get back to his kind of true form, and hopefully that ankle holds up, because obviously the last few games, there's a misstep here or there, and it seemed to cause him a lot of pain and anguish. So he's going to have to be in a position where he can play heavy minutes, especially with Caleb Boone possibly out. And so for these guys, they're going to rely a lot on Deion Thomas, but I think Rob is going to have to take that next step, knowing that next year he's going to be one of those key focal points, and this is a great chance to start kind of getting into that mode and taking on that leadership role, but obviously that higher usage role from a playing standpoint.
4:30, run a Rebel warm-up.
And I can assure you, yeah. Princeton does not have anybody to cover Rob Whaley.
No. I mean, really no one does. I mean, even Ladee is going to be unique in the tournament at 260 pounds and be able to move like he does at 6'9". So, Curtis, we've been having fun with a list that came out with college basketball coaches in the NCAA tournament and their favorite band or artist. Adam thinks they're pandering in a lot of cases. Before we get to a couple examples, do you have any idea what Kruger's favorite group music would be? I mean, you were roomies with him. Wow. I mean, he's older now. What do you think?
That's a tough one, man. I'm not sure. When we finish up, though, I'm gonna walk by him and ask him. I'm not sure what it would be in terms of his favorite. That's a good question. I'm not sure, but I think Kev's a guy. He's very well traveled. I think he's got an ear for a lot of different types of music. So I could see him definitely listen to some hip hop, some country, probably some old classical stuff. But I think it probably just depends on his mood. And I think the closer we get to tomorrow, he's going to be a little bit more locked in and focused. So it's probably not going to be not too much Black Eyed Peas or anything like that.
Are you surprised that TJ said Ed Sheeran?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Let's be real. But it doesn't surprise me. I guess TJ would be the guy that would listen to Ed Sheeran on the regular. I could take him for a Taylor Swift kind of guy, though, too.
Okay.
But I guess who knows?
I said I don't think TJ has ever heard a song in his life.
No, not at all. He has never heard it. I doubt it. Highly doubt that.
He's got to listen to something to freaking take the edge off.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
So here's the thing. This is what we were talking about, Curtis. A lot of coaches, I think, gave their real answer. Like, hey, this is a cool, fun thing. And I feel like a lot of them just said, oh, what would a recruit like to hear? Or what would, like, my players like to hear? And I just – why would you – as a coach, why would you answer a question that – first of all, Hubert Davis not – Lil Durk is not his favorite artist of all time. I'm just telling you right now. Hubert Davis does not love Lil Durk. Sorry, he doesn't. Why would a coach answer that way?
I don't know, to try to be cool, to try to fit in. But again, that's the kind of stuff that they're going to be able to see right through it. They can see that. They can see you being fake, trying to be funny. But again, I think that just comes down to the relationship that they have with the players. But if that's who he listens to, that's great. But I have no idea who that is, so I highly doubt that.
BYU's Mark Pope did say Taylor Swift. I believe that's actually fair. True. Yeah, I think that's true.
I could see Coach Pope DMs to some T-Swift for sure.
I like that a lot. All right, Curtis, we're going to let you go. Are you going to get a chance to hit a diner?
We'll see, man. Princeton, like you probably know, there's not much around here, so I'll do my best to try to make sure we get some Broadcaster Bites picks for you.
Oh, there you go. All right. See you, Curtis.
All right, guys.
Text us Kevin's answer.
What do you think he's going to say?
Here's the thing. He's going to answer to Curtis. So I think he's going to tell the real answer.
Right. But will he give him two answers? Like if Curtis tells him, like, I'm gonna send this back.
Yeah, I think he'd give a separate answer.
Like, yeah, this is the one you should give him.
Yeah. I think he's probably going to say.
Just for recruits?
I think he's going to say Biggie.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it's sort of age appropriate.
Yeah, I think that's more his age.
What do you think?
No clue. I was trying to think of somebody hip-hop, but. Maybe Biggie. Yeah.
So he was like 14 when Biggie died, I think.
5 o'clock hours on the way.
I think that's it.
We'll get into a lot of NFL news as a pretty big name wide receiver found a landing spot.